might be carrying the charge left-hand side. He's got Dale. He's got Harris. He doesn't need them. He's got the goal. That is brilliant from Josh Murphy.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Anytime Notebook, here every single week to mark your goal scorecard for the weekend ahead. My name's Gavin. Joining me, as always, to pick the bones out of the week that was and put up some selections for the full slate on Saturday is John Bywater. John, good afternoon.
Yeah, rare afternoon recording. Good afternoon, Gav. Good afternoon to everybody out there in podcast land.
Absolutely. Should have just, we both had a busy week. Should have left it to our listeners who did a sterling job last week.
Good idea.
Yeah. You would have heard Josh Murphy scoring opening the show. Mark Stinchcombe, a fine contributor to podcast land with his Betfair pieces and the bits he does over the pond as well. Just casually strolls in, avid listener to the pod, puts up a 5-1 winner, strolls back out the door. That's the way it's done, but a huge thank you to everyone that put some selections forward. Yeah, there was lots of shrewd opinion, just looking through them now. Tom Love with his Dan Oyagoki, that was an interesting one, because he's appeared on the notebook about a year ago, but he's gone missing. But yeah,
he loves the game, old Tom. He loves it.
He does. He does. And if you want a Bradford opinion, that's the way to go. Craig Bradley, as always, with some great opinions. I took note when both you and Craig Bradley put up Jordan Thomas. So I think went off. He started in midweek, didn't he? But he went off pretty prohibitively priced. So I wonder whether
that was the chance. I backed him midweek just first only because I thought he wouldn't last the 90. He only lasted 45. But yeah, just that ship has run now, I'm afraid.
Few others there. Yeah, Steve put up Luke Ayling, and I was pretty unlucky, even if I do say so myself. Anthony O'Connor with a glaring miss for Harrogate, who continue to go well.
But he's definitely in the crosswits. Is definitely in the end of season annoyance 11.
Absolutely. Not too late to add some more names to that annoyance 11. Talking of annoyance, a good weekend for the week after system, wasn't it? Williams Kokolo. Oh. Fine finish for Swindon away at Barrow. Look, still goes off 14-1 at home to Wimbledon this weekend, which I still think is a great price. We've put up the argument for him several times in the last month. I think if you listen regularly, you don't need reminding. Taylor Allen, although I think we can hardly claim that as a shrewd pick, because he scored direct from a free kick, didn't he, as Walsall beat Tranmere. And I'll save the words on our good friend Tyler Bindon, who we've mentioned plenty about, but I think you're going to talk about him later on, which is gets a green tick in my box as well, John. John, should we head straight into... We're recording on Friday afternoon. Let's head straight off into the Championship. We've got a game on... it'd be terrible to see Leicester like completely crumble and fall apart and die as a football club, wouldn't it, John? Wouldn't that be a terrible thing for football if they didn't get promoted, then slowly cease to become a football club? Plymouth can aid that wish of mine on Friday night, and I think you've got a selection.
It's a fairy tale story, Leicester. Fairy tale.
That's great.
Yeah, Plymouth v Leicester, as you say, Friday night, about 5 hours away. So if you don't hear this in time, you probably saved yourself a few quid. Two players have benefited from the recent changes at Plymouth, really. Dan Scar's back in from the cold and nearly scored a couple of games ago, but it's not him, surprisingly. I don't think his price is really there. I'm going to take an absolute flyer on Callum Wright, who has come back in from the absolute cold. Part of a front three versus Rotherham in the first game after Foster, had three shots. Less effective at home to QPR midweek, but did get a block shot away. He's only played an hour in both of those games. And like I say, barely seen any minutes until the recent changes. So with the above in mind, I'm happy playing him here, but only as first goal scorer. 20-1 still available. Despite the stutters, Leicester are not the ideal opponent. But just on the positioning and everything, he should be more of a 12-14 shot for me here. Price has crashed quite a bit today, to be fair. There were a few firms, there was even 22s, but there's still some 20s left. So Callum Wright, first goal scorer, only 20-1. Plymouth Leicester, Friday night, a Bosch.
Well, easy to judge. You know, he's ex-Leicester Academy player.
So, I've missed that out on my notes, but a good spot there for him. Yeah. Ex-club system there for Lee Hackett the third.
Yeah. We haven't gone too well with the old ex-Academy players this year, but there's another one for the list. Excellent work. Good to have some interest on a Friday night. John, I got a selection in the Championship, unlike us, to have two selections in the Championship this week. Absolutely. I tell you what,
You love a Rotherham.
Swansea against Rotherham. It looks a great spot to me for Rotherham, this does. If there's a Swansea, what, beat Stoke 3-0 midweek, but a Swansea side that kind of half think they're safe sounds like probably the most dangerous situation for Swansea I can ever imagine. John, I just wrote down a reminder of the recent goal scorers in the opposition column against Swansea. Rob Dickey, Steve Cook, Ryan Porteous for Watford. Even the Sammy Smodge's goal for Blackburn comes from a set piece. Luke O'Nine for Sunderland before that. They remain the fourth worst side from a set piece against Metric. Set piece XG against Metric. Not too many pluses for Rotherham here. They're down. You could probably call them spirited at a push recently, but I wonder whether this is a game that kind of could suffer from maybe Swansea just taking their eye off the ball ever so slightly, despite how bad Rotherham have been. I'm sure that they could cause them a problem or two from a restart here. So who's on my list? Well, Hakeem Adofin is always on my list. Two good heads against Millwall and Plymouth recently. Bit of blue around already, and I say that from looking last night, for Sebastian Reven. Got off the mark in a 2-1 win against Millwall. Fine finish with his left foot from 20 yards. Seems to have just spurred him on. He had another six shots in his last two. Look, they're all from distance. Villaloni, I'm not too worried about the ones from distance. I like the productivity. I like the Loney kind of like attitude and wanting to make a difference, even though the job has been well and truly done for Rotherham. I'd love the prices to be the other way around here. And I was very, very tempted to put up a Dauphin at 12-1, but 16-1 Sebastian Reven gives my conscience a bit more of a rest. I don't quite think I'm ready to put up Rotherham centre-halves at 12-1 just yet. So I'll put up a bit more of a threat. Yeah, Sebastian Reven for Rotherham. 1 point at 16-1 against a Swansea side that can still be got at. So, yeah, started off talking about Swansea set pieces, then talked up someone who won't be a threat from set pieces.
That doesn't matter. We do that a lot.
It's a good threat. Absolutely. Anything else in the Championship?
Same game, Gav. Have you got the key? Have you got the secret? It's. I was going to sing that, but I really haven't got the energy. Josh Key, that is. We finally saw midweek what I expected he would bring to this Swansea side, when he joined. Superb late arrival for the goal in midweek from absolutely nowhere. We've come to expect from him in previous seasons. Playing Rotherham, as we've said, but a general price, Gav, get ready, 3-1 for the right back / right wing back. 3-1. So I don't even know what to say. Yeah,
he was always he was never prolific. He was never a massive price for Exeter, I think he's always had like
nines or tens.
He's always had like centre forward or attacking midfielder somewhere in his armory, hasn't he? And that scares a lot.
I mean, the sixes that is in the place is about where I would price in here, considering the match. But obviously, you don't want to play at the prices you think they should be. So, yeah, no interest at the price. But he was one of the first names I had a look at the price for. So there we go.
There you go. An extensive coverage there of Swansea.
We love a game between a side that's already gone down or absolutely toilet side. That's right. I've got some more of that in a bit.
We do our best work. Yeah, absolutely. Let's head down into League One then. it was a good weekend for left backs, wasn't it? I'm going to talk a bit about left back in a second, but John, lead us off with our current flavour of the month. Reading.
Yeah, I just couldn't resist old Tyler Bindon. He's not old; he's 19, but we call him old. Barnsley v Reading. Feels a little bit like we may have missed the boat, but as you say, scored against Lincoln last weekend. Another effort blocked there. An assist of sort midweek. Two efforts as well. I think one was sort of disallowed, but it wasn't going in. It was pulled up for an infringement and he just headed wide. Price is still there, though, so he's 28-1 available. And at that price, I'm happy to give him another swing. There is a danger that Reading might relax here, though. Pretty much safe now, you'd say. And they've had a hell of a slog to get to this point, haven't they? So I'm a little bit concerned that they might have run the race for the season. They've done the job. But do you think it's fair to say we're the first podcast that spotted young Bindon months ago?
Oh, we don't miss often, do we, John? I know we've got no coaching qualifications.
We're not real. We're not real football men.
I have no idea how to put a radar chart together.
Doesn't matter.
But we don't miss many. I'm sure our esteemed listeners will remind us of the ones that we miss. There's been a few corkers in there, But yeah, normally when we're judging with our own eyes, we can pick out a good one. And I think these young centre-halves that are coming through that show a bit of discipline and a bit of maturity, which I think comes with being an aerial threat in opposition boxes. Don't think we're too far off. But yeah, Tyler Bindon's certainly one of those that just,
I think they might struggle to hold on to him as well, to be honest. Even if there's an ownership change goes through. Plenty of interest, I believe. Anyway, so at 28-1, anything 22s and above is playable here against, I'd say, still an erratic Barnsley side that I've opposed all season. They're still up there. Don't really know how. You can look at anybody's like ratings or whatever you want to call it, and they're massively overperforming on about three different metrics I've seen. So I think they've had a lot of luck on their side this season, Barnsley. So we'll go with Tyler Bindon, 28-1, Reading at Barnsley.
That very much. I had my first, not first, just in a moment of solitude, I was thinking about anti-post League One for next season, already thinking that the division, well, Charlton are on my list. I'll talk about Charlton threats in a second, but they haven't lost since, mid-February. It looks weak, doesn't it, with a poor Rotherham side coming down. I think the bottom half of that championship don't look too strong. I was just considering what price I'd be backing kind of Stockport and maybe Wrexham if they come up. And I thought it'd be looks a good spot.
I think they're both quite short, though, even though they're going up again. That's the thing.
I would have thought so, I'd be thinking somewhere in the 14s to 20 marks would be nice.
Interesting. It won't be long, listeners, before you get 5 hours of comment on stale odds.
That's it. I will go on. Just reflections on League One. A word for Ali Colkey at Northampton, who doesn't see much game time. Absolute legend. I wondered whether he'd... he'd finally just started to listen to me, who I've spent many an hour watching and thinking to myself, why don't you just get run with it a bit more often? Why don't you bring it forwards? I don't know whether Northampton fans will agree with me, but he always seemed a player that filled in on that left-hand side. He looked like every bit a kind of an attacking left wing-back to me, but never quite had the confidence to bring the ball forward until last weekend, where he did just that, break from a corner against Carlisle, ran almost the length of the pitch, beat about seven players. Good finish for his first goal in 2 years. Wasn't on my radar, but well done to Northampton Bit Park players, Ali Colkey just there. John, I thought it was a good weekend for left-backs, particularly in... Well, I guess Jake Bidwell scored midweek for Coventry in the Southampton defeat. Dan Butler wrapped his left foot round a free kick for Stevenage in midweek as well. I thought Thierry Small for Charlton was very interesting, though. More than notebook-worthy, I've got here. few overlapping runs on the left-hand side against Wigan in midweek. Five touches in the penalty area that day. Probably one of the most productive, if you monitor those touches in the penalty area movers, he's probably one of the most productive in the last few weeks. 13 shots in the last eight as well. Got off the mark from a cross, actually, against Bolton. A player that, you know, should... You know, just the type of player that should be on our radar, John, because the market doesn't really have any idea. He's as short as 13-5 with Paddy Power, 12 with Bet365, though. The truth's probably somewhere in the middle. I've said in my notes here, like, just Charlton unbeaten since mid-February, already thinking they'll be one of the movers and shakers in the summer. Cambridge, still some work to do, which is where Charlton are at this weekend. Still some work to do until they're safely over the line, but I thought... In another game that's got, you know, limited implications for just one of the sides, I thought Thierry Small, a point at 12-1 for an attacking Charlton side that
very good,
finishing with a flourish against a Cambridge side. Still with some nerves. I thought that was my selection in League One. John, I think...
Yeah, that's one of those games where you've got to be careful when people say, oh, Charlton have got nothing to play for, because they've still got a new manager, so a lot of these players won't be part of his plans for next season unless they do something in the next month or 3 weeks or whatever it is. So, yeah, you've got to look into it a bit more than just saying, you know, season's over. Yeah, good stuff. I think wasn't... I can't remember if Small was the player that I picked out after... his first game back,
It was.
I knew the name rang a bell. Well, it wouldn't be the pod without a mention of Cheltenham from me for half an hour. They play Bristol Rovers, Gav, and what about that midweek defeat at home to Carlisle? Carlisle seemed to be enjoying being down.
Oh, dear.
Always good to see Sam Lavelle score. I haven't put him up enough times, is it?
oh, goodness me.
Yes. It wouldn't be a pod without Freestone getting a mention either. He's been carrying an injury for a month. I think he missed the Carlisle defeat because they assumed that this would be a good game for him to miss, which I can see the logic. But he did see that they... really struggled defending the set plays without him as well. Clark threw Thomas in from the start midweek. That didn't work either. He went back to how he set up during the good run in the second half. They did play a bit better from what I've read. I did mention, though, Gav, even when they're on that good run, didn't I, on one of the pods, that I thought they looked very tired in a midweek game. This was weeks ago. And Clark is now saying similar. They've got a lot of players running on empty. I think Ferry's carrying an injury. Lloyd is injured. There's a lot of injuries there as well. Having said all that, Bristol Rovers have absolutely packed up and they're not that good anyway. Been terrible in recent weeks. So this really is must win, but you've got to wait for the teams with this nagging Freestone injury, but his price is pretty fair again. So I'm not going to put him up, but if he starts, then we've got to give him another go, Gaff. He's only had 15 goes this season.
Oh.
Yeah.
A handful of games left. It's Cheltenham, didn't they? You called it. You called it nice and early. That was... Well, everyone was touting it as kind of playoff form, wasn't it? It was kind of turn of the year and they were playing well. But then the signs were there. The data had just fallen off a cliff. Like you said, they looked a bit leggy, tired. They've got Bristol Rovers at home. They got Burton away on Tuesday, which that could be.
They would have been looking for six from nine minimum from Carlisle, Bristol Rovers, Burton away. And now it's going to be tough to get that. I mean... that Burton away is going to be a right scrap. But they need to win this, really.
It's going to be huge. Absolutely. Good luck, Charlton.
Good luck to everybody.
Good luck, everyone at the bottom of that League One. Good luck to everybody. But, you know, if worse comes to the worst, you get relegated and you find yourself in the greatest division. In English football, some would say European, others would say world football, League Two. John, kick us off. Anything in? I'm looking at your notes.
I'll kick you off with my League Two note. Nothing. Back to you, Gav. You have a selection, and it's a new name to the pod, I believe.
It's a new name. Grimsby.
Is it Doug Tharp? Is it Doug Tharp?
Look, when I was looking down, it's not, Doug Tharp assist and Harvey Rogers goal is what we're gonna put up here. Like, I've seen already some weekend previews, and I thought there'd be more people looking to take on Crewe this weekend. I can't, John, while I'm reading this,
lots of injuries, Crewe
are this weekend, because just popped up on the radar. It looked that draw at Accrington, they only amassed what, less than 0.4 expected goals. Couple of chances there for Accrington for Gubbins and Bradley Hills from set pieces. Conceded from a corner. I mean, this is a Crewe side that, look, have always been vulnerable from set pieces throughout the course of the season, but they've conceded from a corner and another crossing out. Well, that was pretty terrible, that 3-0 reverse at home to Forest Green the other week. Gave up half a goal from set pieces against Morecambe midweek. Jordan Slough should have scored from a simple far post run and a free kick. Farron Rawson and Songo had a couple of chances as well. Grimsby, you've got the Artel bit as well in here, which is a good narrative running through, but Grimsby is shot to nothing here. Added threat of Doug Tharp long throws. No surprise. You still have to scroll down plenty on Odds Checker till you get to Harvey Rogers' name. Great run of chances with that goal back in early March. Regular listeners to the show know we don't need more than, you know, the inkling of positivity to put up Mr. Rogers. And I thought 18-1 was a fair old price for a proven threat in a good spot. Yes, Grimsby still got to look over their shoulder. Crewe looking the other way, but just wondered whether, you know, Crewe don't strike you as quite that team who are going to grab playoff position by the scruff of the neck, and there might be a few nerves at Gresty Road at the weekend. So, I thought at one point, Harvey Rogers, 18-1, Crewe against Grimsby. That finished off my League Two. And that's where we'll have to end it this week. Some terrible issues with the audio. There was another 10 minutes of this podcast where me and John spent a good nostalgic 10 minutes talking about the racing and football outlook, talking about previous jobs within the betting industry, looking ahead to Grand National Day, trying to irritate as many cashiers as we can. And even a bit of golf chucked in there as well. But we got the audio messed up. So I'll tell you what, I've just popped on. Let me just remind you of the selections that myself and John have put up this week. So for John, it starts on Friday night. I point Callum Wright, first goal scorer, 20-1 in Plymouth versus Leicester. And he's also put up our old friend Tyler Bindon, 28-1. Barnsley against Reading. And then for me, we are off into League One first. A point on Thierry Small at 12-1 for Charlton. A point on our old friend Harvey Rogers at 18-1 for Grimsby. And heading up into the Championship, 16-1. A point on Sebastian Revan for Rotherham as they head to Swansea. Shame we missed off that audio, but it still remains just for me to say, whatever you are backing, for myself and John, be lucky, and we'll join you again next week.